Good afternoon. How are you? Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me as we kick off a brand new week. It is always a pleasure to welcome our next guest. He is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's always good to talk to you. Let me start here. Once again, college football, massive disrespect to the state of Florida.
I know.
Right? I mean, I'm a big Noel fan.
The thing is, Simon, it's a sore subject at home because my kids, first grade, kindergarten, and pre-K, they're Noel fans. We live in Tallahassee. They've been going to different games, not just football. And I told them a few weeks ago when there was a couple games left in the season, I said, guys, if Florida State wins the remainder of their games, they'll be undefeated and they'll go to the playoffs.
Right.
Because, you know, at that time you had Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. One of them was going to lose because they played each other. You had Washington, and then you had Florida State. And I'm like, of course you're going to end up being there. And they went undefeated, and they didn't make the playoff. And my kids are like, Daddy, you said they were going to make the playoff. What happened? And I don't have a good answer for them.
Right. And, you know, look, this isn't the first time. In fact, they double disrespected Florida this time because, of course, Jordan Travis out of the Heisman top four as well. I think he should have won it, to be honest with you. And of course, in 2017, undefeated UCF was disrespected. Why do they hate Florida, Governor?
That's right. That's right. You know, it's interesting. Growing up in Florida in the 80s and 90s, especially between Florida State, Florida, Miami, I mean, we were a juggernaut as a state. Then obviously, you know, won some championships with Florida the next decade, and then Florida State in 2013. So we've had a good run, and it just seems like the last 10 years or so, it's been difficult. So one of the things that I said in the second term, because people ask me at the end of my first term as governor, they're like, well, what has Florida not done that you'd like to see? And I'm like, well, college football. We didn't really compete the first 4 years of governor. I was like, we got to start doing better. And so Florida State did their part. I mean, they had a great season. It's unfortunate they lost Jordan Travis, but they won undefeated, winning a Power 5 conference. I could understand if there was four additional teams undefeated, but when you have three undefeated teams that are conference champs, I think they all got to be in.
It's quite ridiculous. Big Noles fans in my house. My wife, Webb, thank you very much. That's my producer loves me so much.
Well, thank you very much. Simon, some people in Iowa will appreciate this story. Uh-huh. So my kids know the tomahawk chop very well.
Good.
I happened to take them to Arrowhead Stadium last year for the Jaguars versus Chiefs playoff game. And so they were in Jags jerseys. We're there in the stadium, but when the Chiefs fans started doing the tomahawk chop, instinctively they just got up and they just started doing it, and all the Chiefs fans saw these two little kids in Jags jerseys doing the chop with them, and they really, really appreciated that our kids were doing the chop with them.
That's great. I'm sending your staff a picture, by the way, of me and Bobby Bowden back in the day. So, long time Noles fans. Anyway, and my daughter has 4 degrees from Florida State, and she is way smarter than the rest of us. So there you go. All right, Governor, let's get into stuff that matters more widely. One of the three university presidents who couldn't answer the most softball of softball questions. So calling for the genocide of Jews, is that against university policy? They couldn't answer it with a yes answer. One's gone, two still remain. Should the other two resign?
Absolutely. How pathetic. Now, these are universities that will justify saying that it's okay to talk about the genocide of Jews because of, quote, free speech. But they don't allow free speech on their universities. They have taken action against people, like at Penn, has taken action against faculty members or staff members who have opposed things like affirmative action and taken conservative positions on just run-of-the-mill issues. So they have created a hotbed of radicalism at these universities. There's a sickness in these universities. You saw it on display there. You've seen it on display with the ridiculous protests in favor of Hamas that we've seen since October 7th. But we've got to get smart about how we deal with these universities. We can't keep funding universities that are creating this type of toxic environment and toxic ideology. In Florida, I'm one of the few who have actually taken action In our state, we passed legislation, all tenured professors, they have to undergo review every 5 years and can be let go for poor performance, particularly if they're spending all their time politicking. We also eliminated this DE&I, which I know Iowa has now followed suit with, and that's kind of the root of some of this, because they try to divvy up people based on race or ethnicity, and they create divisions where we should be judging people based on merit and based on the content of their character. So I think both of those presidents should be fired. But I think there's a larger task ahead of us. We give federal money to these universities in large numbers. And the question is, if this is the nonsense and this is the crap that they're producing, why are we sending your tax dollars to them?
You're exactly right, Governor, to be honest with you. And by the way, UPenn's president may have stepped down, but I understand she is keeping her job as a tenured law professor. Speaking as a Jew, I cannot imagine going to her class at this point and feeling, you know, it's not like, oh, my feelings are hurt. That's an anti-Semite to me. That's
well,
literally what I feel.
These universities,
right.
You've seen Jewish students have to run for their lives for safety because you have like an angry mob that's attacking them just because they're Jewish. I have taken a lot of action in Florida against campus anti-Semitism starting way back in 2019. So I've always thought it was a problem. But what we've seen since October 7th is worse than what I think a lot of us thought was even possible, that that could be happening in the United States of America. As president, I'll send the Justice Department to these universities to make sure that they're upholding the civil rights of all their students, including their Jewish students. They are not doing that when they allow these angry mobs to chase these kids around. And I've got friends down in Florida that have told me their kids do not even want to be on campus at this point, given that all that's happened. And what does that say about our society that we would ever reach that point?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I know some other Jewish people. We've all suffered a little bit of anti-Semitism. It doesn't really bother us. It's water off a duck's back. But none of us ever thought we would see what we're seeing on the streets of America right now. Let's move on from this, though, because, as always, we have limited time. We're talking to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis right now. Governor, why are Republicans doing another debate on CNN? When are Republicans going to learn their lesson with this? They're going to try and play gotcha. You know that.
No, look, my view is I'm going to show up and debate. I don't know if any other candidate is accepted. My understanding is the only invited candidates would be Donald Trump, me, and Haley. And I don't think Donald Trump's willing to debate. It may be a one-on-one with me and Haley. I don't know if she's accepted that. But my view is I want to go out there. I want to be able to contrast my successes and my leadership with the other candidates and show people that I'm the better choice. And so I'm willing to show up wherever we're going to go. I will tell you this, you know, the RNC kind of took hold of the debate for precisely the reason you mentioned, but I'm not sure very many people were happy with how those debates turned out. In fact, I've had a lot of people tell me that the best debate of the cycle was not any of those primary debates. It was the debate I did against Gavin Newsom on Fox News with Sean Hannity. It was substantive. Hannity wasn't doing gotcha. He was just, you know, teeing up all the important issues. And we were able to tussle back and forth. And I think we really were really able to show that conservative principles work and that freedom works and that the leftism that you see in California has not only failed California, it would fail this country if you have another Democrat administration after 2024.
I've said this on the air, Governor. That was by far your best debate. And maybe it was one-on-one. Maybe it was because he's fairly easy target. I don't know which one it was. But he is obviously wants to run for president. He won't say so until Joe Biden is moved out of the way. But I thought that was by far your best debate performance. We are running out of time already, so I want to get to, although Mrs. Newsom was over it, right? She wanted it stopped.
Yeah, they said hard stop. We got to go. I was willing to stay there and do another 20 minutes, but it was all for naught. So it was fine. But look, we showed the contrast. We showed the difference in visions. And that's going to be the key choice that this country faces, not just in 2024, but in future years. You know, are we going to embrace leftism, California style, or are we going to embrace Iowa and Florida style freedom? I think you know from being in both states, what they do in Iowa and what we've done in Florida has worked. What they've done in California will not, and it will add to the failures of the Biden administration. It will be even worse than what Biden has done, if that's possible.
Well, let's finish this conversation today with Iowa. Ground game is massive. I said the big thing you got from Governor Reynolds' endorsement was her ground game. That expertise, that was huge for you. How is it going in Iowa? What's your internal polling telling you?
Oh, we're doing very well. I would just tell people, you know, some of the stuff that gets put out there, that's meant to create a narrative. I remember Bob Vanderplaats was down 30 points the day before the primary in 2010. He closed it to 2. Most of these polls have not predicted the Iowa caucus winner. You know, we've got tens of thousands of people that have already committed to caucus, ratting a lot every day. We're moving around the state. We're generating a lot of enthusiasm. The governor's been a huge help to us. Bob Vanderplaats has been a huge help. And then some of the more recent debates have been helpful. Newsom and then the more recent one in Tuscaloosa. So we feel really good about the progress that we're making. Our data shows that it's very, very competitive, and no one's going to outwork us. I think that's the important thing. And what I find is when I go, I'll go maybe a small town. We'll get 100 people show up. There'll be people that want to vote for me anyways. There'll be some that are undecided and some maybe leaning Trump. We flip a lot of those people once they're able to see me, ask me questions, and shake my hand. That's the way Iowa voters want it to be done. They want you to earn it, and we are going to earn it.
RonDeSantis.com is the website. We let all the candidates give it out, so I've just done that for you. RonDeSantis.com. Governor, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for giving us your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
We will see you soon. Take care.